to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. While since we have had the broadcast going, I have been on the summer tour this summer. I've enjoyed meeting all of you ministries across the United States, and I just give God glory and give Him praise for what He is doing in the United States. Listen, we will not relent. We are the bride of Christ. We know that we are in the palm of God's hands. Amen. Nothing's going to happen without His permission, and we put our faith and trust in Him. Amen. Now listen, tonight I have a very special broadcast for you. We are gearing up for the Nashville Authors and Artists Expo on October the 17th. Tonight we're featuring our first authors, which are the Fegans. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm very excited to feature y'all tonight. We have Edwin Fegan and we have Dr. Shadina Fegan. How y'all doing?
Doing good.
We're doing great.
Now listen, Bride, I'm going to read their bio and then we're going to go into their testimony. Edwin Fegan was born in Detroit, Michigan, but was raised in Hopewell, Alabama. He received his BS degree in architectural engineering from Tennessee State University in Nashville, Tennessee. He is a devoted father of three, Edwin Jr., Sabria, and Edgerin. He spends quality time with his children as they make memories. Fegan's books is one that can be handed down to his grandchildren and his future generations to come. His messages are real, on point, down to earth, and timeless. Fegans and his wife, Shadina Fegans, lives with their children in Old Hickory, Tennessee. Now, Dr. Fegans is a native of Los Angeles, California. She graduated from the University of Southern California in 1992. Shortly after graduating, she taught middle school for the Los Angeles Unified School District for 3 years before realizing her true dream of becoming a physician. Her newfound passion prompted her to move from Los Angeles to Nashville to attend Meharry Medical College in 1996. While completing her degree, Dr. Fegans met her husband, Edwin Fegans Sr., and they are now the proud parents of three children. Welcome, 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 and also welcome to Nashville. We're glad that God chose you to come here, Dr. Fegans.
Yeah, I'm glad God chose me to come here, too. I wouldn't have never met my wonderful husband.
Oh, that's awesome. So you found your Boaz, huh?
I did.
That's awesome. Well, listen, we know that people have stories, and we would love to hear your stories, and whichever one wants to start, go ahead.
Hey, I'll let my husband. He's the head of the household.
Okay.
Thank you, my lovely wife. Dr. June, again, thank you for allowing us to come and share our testimony and share what God has given us to try to share with others and to help others.
Yeah.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and my mom, when she birthed me, she was 16, and I later was moved to Hopewell, Alabama to live with my great aunt and uncle where they raised me. From that point on, I always had a void in my life because I didn't know who my father was. If my father walked in this room right now, I wouldn't know him. I've never seen him. I don't even know his name. And for a long time, that bothered me. That bothered my self-esteem. That bothered how I thought about myself, how I allowed people to treat me, and how I treated others. But when I was, I guess I was about 32, and I was sitting in church once during revival, and the minister said it didn't matter who hooked up with who to get me here. The point of the matter was that I was meant to get here and that I was meant to do great things. So it didn't matter how I got here, and I needed to stop blaming other people for what my failures were, and that God had given me a gift and that it was time for me to start using my gift. And when that hurt me, when that, it just released my spirit, and I became responsible for my success, and I also became responsible for whatever failures that I had. And I remember in the Word it said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I live on His Word. And it only because of the fact that I saw my wife write a book that it encouraged me, that I knew that I had seen her do it and I had seen God work in her life to inspire her to write her book, that I knew that I could write the book, I Wouldn't Lead Jerome from a Dad's Perspective. So that's where we, and it took me about 2.5 years to write the book because I dealt into a lot of issues that I wanted my kids to understand. I was sitting at the computer one night, and one of my friends had passed away, and I said, man, if God called me home today right now, my kids don't know me. Now, they know me as daddy, but they don't know what my thoughts are. They don't know what how I feel about stuff because they're just too young. I have a 26-year-old. Now, he knows me because we grew up together. But my other two kids, only thing they would know about me is what other people told them. So I wanted to leave them something written. If they wanted to know about how I felt about God, they could read it. If they wanted to know how I felt about relationships, they could read it. If they want to know how I felt about marriage, they could read it. If they wanted to know how I felt about divorce, they could read it, because I went through all of that in my life. And I just wanted to have something that when life happens, that they have something that they could read and understand, okay, daddy went through this, and this is how he handled it. So now I have a plan. I have a guide. Not that I would do the same thing that he did, but I have an option now. Daddy went left. Maybe I need to go left. Or he went left on this issue. Well, maybe I need to go right on this issue. So that was my main reason for writing the book, because, again, I wanted to leave my children with something. I wanted them, even when I'm gone, I want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to know and understand, this is how my father, this is how my grandfather, this is how my great-grandfather felt about certain issues.
That is so awesome, sir, that you want to leave a legacy to your family. That's basically what you're saying. And you have found that writing a book has allowed you to release that one avenue to release that legacy to your children.
That's correct.
You know. Now, we'll get back to your books in just a moment. And that's a very touchy subject when you talk about your father, that you never had a father. I know I've been in the same boat. And although I knew who mine was, but he just wasn't there. But it makes it hard growing up, you know. And so I feel you on that point. Now, Dr. Fagan, tell us about yourself.
Well, I was, I came from a family of divorced parents, but I was fortunate that my father was always in my life, even though my parents were divorced. My mother, she worked a lot. She worked two jobs. And so I spent a lot of time with my father's parents, my grandparents, and they practically raised me. But it's good to have, you know, your father in your life, especially as a young girl growing up. He always encouraged me. Both of my parents always encouraged me to do well. And my father's parents also were always encouraging, and they were always, you know, my biggest cheerleaders. And so I had a pretty good life growing up. I think I pretty much had everything that I ever wanted or needed. I think the road that I crossed that became a little troublesome was when I got into high school, my young adult years, and was dating a guy who was kind of on the jealous side. And he was both verbally and physically abusive, and I stayed with this man for 10 years. And finally I got enough strength to just leave and never look back. But I remember him telling me once that, you know, you'll never get into medical school. And I said, well, I'm going to make sure that I send you my acceptance letter in the mail when I get the first acceptance letter.
And bam, come on now.
So once I got into medical school, I made sure I sent him one. We had, you know, broken up probably about my first year in medical school. We, you know, break up, get back together, break up. But after that first year, I kind of said, you know, this isn't going to work. I just couldn't imagine having children with a man that was abusive to me, and then if that ever happened to my daughter, to be able to look her in the face and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't accept that. You shouldn't put up with that, but it's okay that your father is abusive to me, you know. So that was one thing that I just couldn't live with, having to tell my daughter that, and not having the strength to walk away. If that, and God forbid that ever happened to my daughter. But, you know, I can honestly tell her, if that were to happen, you know, you have the strength to walk away. I did, you know. And so I went to medical school and graduated from Meharry in the top of my class. And, you know, started out in obstetrics and gynecology, and decided, you know, after a year, not really what I want to do. So I ended up doing internal medicine, which is primary care. And I'm glad that I did it, because I have more time to spend with my family, with my husband and my children. And I've been able to grow a practice where I have 3 medical practices now, and very involved with the community. We have an annual walk. This is our third 5K walk that I put on every year. It's called Walk With Your Doctor. And that grew out of my desire to help my patients and to improve the doctor-patient relationship. You know, as physicians, we always tell our patients what not to do or what they need to do, but we don't necessarily, as physicians, do what we're supposed to do. And so I wanted to do more than just talk at my patients. I wanted to show them a healthier way. And so Walk With Your Doctor was created, and it's more than just, you know, walking with the patients, because I exercise with my patients, but it's a whole journey, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And so each year we culminate that with an annual 5K, 3.2-mile walk, and I recruit other physicians to walk with their patients and form teams of their staff and their patients. And our first year, Mayor Carl Dean, he led the walk. And then last year, Leland Statham, Channel 5 News weatherman, he led the walk. And so This year, the president of Meharry Medical College will lead the walk. And each year it's grown. And, you know, the first year we had about 200 walkers and about 9 physicians. And then last year we had 13 physicians and 4 dentists and some nurse practitioners and nurses involved and about 300 walkers, participants. And so we're hoping for 500 participants this year. So we're excited about that. And it's just continually growing. And, you know, I do a lot in the community, like I said, but I also, you know, write children's books in my spare time. My first book I wrote while I was on bed rest, pregnant with my second child, and it's called Poems for My Children. And, you know, I look at it from a global aspect in terms of children. You know, there's this old saying that says it takes a village to raise a child. And so I've always looked at it that way. So when I write children's books, I look at it as not only am I writing for my 2 kids, but I'm writing for everyone's children and, you know, on a global level. And so that book, it was a book of poetry, and it just addressed different aspects. You know, one topic was not talking to strangers. You know, another poem was about not being afraid to go to the doctor, and just different, you know, various things, friendship. And so the book that we have that is coming out now this year is called We Have Such in Common. And the mission of We Have Such in Common is to promote harmony among young girls and young ladies, to show that despite socioeconomic background, your ethnicity, the texture of your hair, color of your skin, you know, the color of your eyes, we still have a lot more in common than we think. And so we promote this through literacy and the visual arts. And so I wrote the poetry for it, and my partner she did the pictures. So it's a picture book that has poems that go with it. And so we're very excited about that, and it'll be coming out in the next week. So that's my testimony. You know, my whole goal is to, you know, unite children and adults. You know, I think that adults can learn a lot from children.
Oh, yes.
Because children aren't taught to hate. I mean, they're not born hating people. They're taught that.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have to educate our children and you know, let them realize that, hey, we have to all coexist together on this earth, and so we need to learn how to live together.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Well, is there any way that you can read us a little excerpt out of the children's book? I'd love to hear, like, maybe the one about the doctor, you know, that are scared to go to the doctor.
Oh, you know what? I'd have to find a book. But I can do an excerpt out of the new one.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the first page of the book has a picture of little girls that are holding up signs that they made. And these signs, they say things like, I matter, she matters, we matter, all lives matter. And so the poem, or the little couplet, poetic couplet that goes with that is, from our beliefs that all lives matter to our protests, it's not just chatter, we have such in common. So, you know, they're just little small little phrases that rhyme, and they go with pictures. There's one that says, from the careers that we'll choose, doctors, judges, among them too, we have such in common. And that has a picture of 2 little girls, one dressed like a physician, another dressed like a judge. Yeah, and then there's one that says, from the decisions that we'll make to the ones that will seal our fate, we have such in common.
Oh,
and
there's that's a picture awesome.
Of young ladies in their cap and gowns, you know. So each, and then the last picture is in honor of Trayvon Martin. It says, from the hoodies that we wear to the unity that we share, we have such in common. And it's a picture of young girls, African American, Caucasian, you know, they have hoodies and they're showing solidarity as they're standing, you know, to show that, hey, we all have a lot in common and we shouldn't be judged by what we wear.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. So it's a very, it's a beautiful book, and we're really excited about it.
Well, I just want to say this. Now, I'm an outside opinion, but from what I hear from both of you is that you both sound like you're on a mission to help society. You're like, okay, we're a small portion of the problem, but we're going to do what we can to help bring solutions.
Right.
And I just want to say on behalf of the bride, thank you for all that y'all have done. I mean, that's huge, especially with your case, too, where you talk about how your walk has grown every year. Listen, who has walks where the mayor comes? You know what I'm saying? It's like God has just really blessed you, and he's granted both of y'all favor. And I just want to pray right now, if y'all don't mind. I just feel led to pray. Lord, and Bride, listen, if y'all would come together in agreement with me in prayer, y'all know we do this on every broadcast. We ask the Bride across the world, because we do have a lot of the persecuted church that listens to this broadcast. And if y'all would come together in agreement with us over this couple and this family, that they would continue to achieve the destiny that God has for them. I mean, how awesome is it what they're doing just in Nashville? Nashville's a very blessed city because they're there. So, Lord, we just come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank you and give you praise for this family, Lord, the Fagans family, God. We thank you for bringing them here to Nashville, Lord, and for blessing our community and blessing all of the people that they minister to, Lord, the children and everything. And I thank you, Lord, that you wrote their book before time began, Lord, that they are walking in the fullness of their destiny, God. So as the bride, we're asking you, Lord, to help them. We pray all of the provision that they are going to need to accomplish the vision that you have downloaded into them. We pray you give them favor with city leaders, with other doctors, with the children, Lord, favor in the community, God, for them to be able to do everything that you have given them to do. Lord, as the bride across the world, we hold up their arms and we say, march forth in Jesus' name, doing what God has called you to do. We support you. Lord, we just hold up their arms, Lord, and we pray strength upon them, Lord. We pray healing in their family, Lord. Any issues of sickness, we bind that in Jesus' name. We claim healing over them, Lord. We thank you, God, for everything that you are continuing to do. Lord, I pray for the husband, Edwin. Lord, what that man has been through and the strength that you have put in his back to be able to be a man without a man leading him, that, Lord, just is such a testimony within itself that you have raised him up and you have helped him to become somebody he probably never knew he could become. And, Lord, we give you glory for that, God. What you can do to a heart, what you can do to a life, when they give it over to you, God. So we pray, Lord, that you just give him all of his heart's desires, every dream he has. Let it come to pass, Lord. Let him be the father to many, many, many children, Lord, and that he will be able to be the father better than he could have ever hoped from a natural father. And, Lord, I just speak that blessing over him right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, for this doctor, Lord, the vision that she has, I mean, it's such a blessing, Lord, that she wants to unite the races. Lord, that she wants to bring a solution to the problem, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because we may think it's small, but, Lord, with you, all things are big. And we thank you because you're such a great big God. And what you're going to do from the seeds that she's planting, Lord, because we don't look to the right or the left. We look to you where hope comes from, just walking in obedience and planting the seeds where you tell us to plant them. So, Lord, we pray that every seed that she plants for unity in the bride, unity on the earth, healing of the past, for things to be a better tomorrow. We come together in agreement with her. Lord, help our nation, help our peoples. Help us to have healing in the races, Lord. Help us to have healing in our nation, God. And I thank you that they do see the bigger picture, Lord, that they do see the greater good, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord. And we thank you for them being on this broadcast tonight, God, that we can all come together in agreement with them. And our heart goes out to them, Lord. We just feel the strength that's coming from them, the brokenness they've been through to bring them to where they're at, God, and how just victory is ahead, Lord, in every area. So we thank you and give you praise tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, I don't even know y'all, but I'm so blessed to interview you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're very welcome. Now, let me ask you something, sir. Now, do y'all have any children?
Yes, we have.
Yes, y'all said y'all have the three children. Well,
yes.
How, since you've had the experience you've had of not having a father, how has that affected you being a father with your three children?
Oh, God. Everything that I felt like I did not have, I've tried to share that and be that with my kids. This is my second marriage. My first son, like I said, he and I grew up together. I had him at an early age. He's 26, and just to be at the football games, to be at the basketball games, to go outside and catch with him, the first time he rode a bike, and to remember the first time he fell. To remember teaching him how to drive a car, to remember seeing him walk across the stage, not only in the kindergarten, then junior high, and then high school, to see him walk across stage being a firefighter. I mean, for a father to see his child do well and be there to get that glance when they look at you and they try to find you in the crowd, and when they do find you, that you get that glance and you give them thumbs up and you nod that head and say, man, I'm proud of you. You know, I'm proud of everything that you've done, and to know that and to see that he's becoming the man that you prayed to God that he would be. I mean, it's just awesome.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To you know, not having a father, and you always want to know, you always want to have the approval. You know, you always want to know that I did good. You always want to know that someone's out there, that he's out there. And it took me a long time to find that, not in a physical father, but in a spiritual father. And once I found that in my spiritual father, then I knew what I could do as an earthly father to my son, because I'm just trying to do what God says, you know, for us to do. Because as you know, in his word, he said, you know, you would know my disciples not by how much money they have, not by the car that they drive, not by the house that they live in, but you would know my disciples by the love they share for one another. And I try to pour out as much love as possible that I can to my kids.
Well, I tell you what, I'm sure that they greatly appreciate it. And that's why I had to pray that for you, because I feel that in my own life. That's how I was with my children. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Feagans. Would y'all mind sharing the story of how you two met? Because you said you were so happy to move to Nashville to be with him. Would you mind sharing?
Yeah, since this is a religious station, I guess I probably should tell you because my husband's story is a little distorted. Mine is the truth.
Go for it, woman.
So we were, I was in my last year of medical school, and we'll both tell it. But I was studying for my board exams, and, you know, the first board exam I studied for, I think I studied a little too hard. It was kind of stressful. It was just all I did was study. I had no life. And so when I passed my first board, I said,
I know
hey,
how that is.
When I take my second board exam, I'm going to have a little more fun. I'm going to cut it off, you know, at 5 o'clock, and then I'm going to go enjoy some music. And there was a local restaurant. It's kind of like a juke joint restaurant, I guess, you know. They played live music, and you could eat there. And so a lot of the medical students would go there on the weekends. But I would go Thursday through Friday. No, Thursday through Saturday. And I would just go and listen to the music and just, you know, let my hair down because I was just trying to relieve stress and go with friends or, you know. And so one evening, I think it probably was on a Saturday, I went with some of my classmates and I was going to the ladies' room. And this gentleman who ends up being my husband, stops me. And he says, the oldest line in the book, don't I know you from somewhere? And I'm looking at him like, yeah, right. And so I looked at him and I said, oh, wait a minute, you do look familiar. And we started talking. And he asked me, he said, you go to Meharry, right? And I said, yeah. And so he said, well, when do you graduate? And we had been talking for a while. I think by then I'd given him my phone number. And I said, oh, I have 6 months left to go. And he said, oh, okay, so I have 6 months to convince you to fall in love with me.
And oh, that is a funny.
And I thought he was crazy, and I wanted to ask him for my number back. But I just quickly excused myself and said, okay, well, it was nice talking to you. And I went on, you know. And so he pursued me for several months, and I ran for several months. And finally, said, let me just give him a chance, you know. And so we went out on a date, and I guess the rest is history. When we started dating, I just remember he met my father, and, you know, we started dating, and I remember when I was graduating, he said, oh, well, I'm going to come to your graduation. I said, well, you really don't have to. And he said, no, because I don't want you when we get married. And mind you, we'd only been dating a few months. When we get married, I don't want you telling our children that I didn't go to your graduation. And I was thinking to myself, I am not marrying this man. I'm about to move across the country to Los Angeles, and he's going to be here in Nashville. You know, I'm thinking a long-distance relationship is not going to work.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It works, and here we are 13 years later with three beautiful kids. So that's the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let me ask y'all, if you don't mind telling the listeners, how many books do y'all have each?
Well, I've written two books, and then my husband, he's written one. So between the two of us, we have three books.
Okay, and the ones that you've written, tell us the names of them again.
The first one I wrote is called Poems for My Children, and actually I have about five books that I can get out of that because of the poems that I wrote, but they just, I published one of the five series. So, and then I have... it's called We Have Such in Common. That's the second book.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And then now my book.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
And then my book is called I Wouldn't Eat Too Wrong from a Dad's Perspective, and that's my first book.
Gotcha. Now, on that book, what's your format like? Are you just, like, sitting down and talking to children, or are you talking to adult dads, or what?
Well, I kind of wrote the book as if my kids were talking to me, and they would say, "Dad," like, for instance, my book starts out with God, and it says, you know, "Dad, how do you feel about God?" And I talk to them about God, and I try to write the book as if we were having a conversation.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Now, how old are your kids now?
My youngest, he's 8. My daughter, she is 10, getting ready to turn 11 in a couple weeks. And then my oldest, he's 26.
Well, did any of them get to read your book, and what did they think of it?
Oh, my oldest, he read it, and he thought that it was like sitting down talking to me. And he thinks I ought to write another one.
That's,
you know,
all
just about life. Because when I talk to my son, you know, I try to talk to him about, you know, what's going on in his life and what he feels, because so often it's two people that we see. We see the person that people want us to see,
yeah.
And it's also the person that they don't want to show us. And at times you don't know who you're talking to. And I always, you know, when I talk to him, I always ask him, you know, how do you feel? You know, what's going on with you? And I try to share with him if he has a issue about, you know, money, for instance. And I share with him, you know, what my mother used to tell me about money. Like, you know, you can't live well, eat well, drive well, dress well, all at the same time. You can only do one. And you choose which one you do, you know. You know, when she used to say, save your money for a rainy day, I didn't understand that. I'm like, Mom, the sun's shining. But as I grow older, as I got older, I understood what she was saying. When someone would give money, and then I would be like, Mom, I want to buy something. She would say, Boy, that money is burning a hole in your pocket. And I was like, No, it's not burning a hole in my pocket. But it was a metaphor, and as I got older, I understood what my mother would share with me, and I share those same things with him. Because again, I want him to understand that in life, things happen to you for no rhyme or no reason. Things just happen. But it's not what happens; it's how it affects us and how we allow it to affect us.
Right.
And I often tell him, God does not judge us for what people do to us. God judges us on what we do to people. So
I have said that all year.
Yep.
Yes, we're not judged on that. We're judged on how we react to people.
Right. Right.
Not what they do to us. Yes, amen.
So, you know, and a lot of people, they wear so much anger, and they care so much about what other people feel about them and think about them. And in my book, I tell my kids, when you get to the point where you don't care what a person think about you, oh, you can grow then, because now you can look truly for who God wants you to be and not who man wants you to be. Because that's who we're trying to please. We're not trying to please man. We're trying to please God.
Yeah.
And God, he sets a blueprint for us. And it's not predicated on how we look. It's not predicated on what we dress, how we dress, or what we drive, or where we live. It's, again, it's predicated on how we treat others. Because God was a servant. I mean, that's what he did. He served.
And that's what my wife and I, we try to do within our practice and what we do. We serve, you know, we try to help people. We try to make people, not make people, we try to help people feel better. Because 90% of what's wrong with you is in your mind. It's not your body. And if you get your mind right, your body will fall in line.
Yeah. I hear you. Now, listen, sir, I would love for you to pray. I just feel led to ask you to pray if there are people listening that are hurting because they didn't have a father.
Yes, ma'am. I would love to.
Yes, if you would, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, dear God, we come to you right now, first of all, just saying thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all that you're doing and all that you will do. Lord, I ask you to lift up the children right now that are without fathers. Lord, lift up the fathers who were without fathers, Lord. I ask you to lift up the mothers, the daughters out there that who are or and have been without fathers, Lord. But we all know that you're our Father, Lord. We are only the vessels by which we are used to bring life into this world. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be vessels, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to do your will. Thank you for allowing us to be there to touch a life, to tell one that we love them. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be the one to just give a warm hug or to give a firm handshake and to look a person dead in the eye and to say, hey, how do you feel? We love you. I love you. God loves you. And anything that I can do for you, let me know. Lord, it's because of what you showed us and the love that you came down on this earth to die for people that didn't love you. And on the cross you said, Lord, forgive them. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Lord, that's the strongest love that we could ever use as an example of how we should treat people, Lord.
Yeah.
But Lord, thank you for the doctor here for allowing us to come on her show, Lord. Lord, I hope whatever we say that we take away from us and give it to you, Lord, that whatever we say and whatever we do on this show can go out and touch someone's heart. Touch their heart that maybe they can be a better father. Maybe they can be a better friend. Maybe they can be a better husband than they were before they heard our voice, Lord. Because, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for just coming down on this earth and dying for our sins, Lord. We want to thank you for making a beautiful day today, Lord. We want to thank you for when it rains, Lord. We want to thank you for when the sun is shining, Lord. We want to thank you that you give us another opportunity to be a better people, a better father, a better husband, a better friend than we were yesterday, Lord. Lord, again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't say thank you enough. But, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for my wife, Lord. Thank you for my children, Lord. Thank you for everybody that has come into my life, be it positive to be it negative, because whatever they came into my life, it was for a reason.
Yes, Lord.
It was for me to learn, Lord. Even the negative things that have happened in my life, Lord, it was for me to learn, Lord. And these and other things and other blessings, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Now listen, Dr. Fagans, if you don't mind praying, I feel like you are a very inspirational woman for women. You have come a very mighty long way, and I would love for you to pray for women.
Okay. Lord God, I just want to pray for peace among our women, among our households. We are the caregivers of our children and of our spouses and of our families. Give us strength to be able to teach our children. Give us a loving heart, a heart of patience, a heart of kindness, a heart of understanding, so that we can help raise children that will grow up to be pillars of the community, Help us to teach our children and children of others to not judge others based on the color of their skin or the content of their character, but just to love another and to teach us to be accepting, to accept the differences, but to celebrate the similarities that we have among ourselves.
Yes.
And give us strength, Lord, to seek you and to ask for your guidance. Give us the knowledge that we need to teach those that we come across the way that we should go to follow your lead, Lord. And just give us guidance. And in these names, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all so much for being on the broadcast tonight. Is there anything else you would like to say? Well, first, that last book, the one that you said is coming out this year, what is the name of that book again?
It's called We Have Such in Common.
Okay, We Have Such in Common. Now, will you have that book at the expo?
Yes, I will.
Okay, now, Bride, listen, in Nashville, if you are around the Nashville region, we are going to be on October the 17th at Walker's Cafe and Grill from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. 11 to 2 is actually the expo, and then from 2 to 3 we're having worship. So come and you will get to meet all of these artists and authors and have them sign their books for you, and they can talk to you about their books. And if you're interested in being an author yourself or branching out and being an artist, a singing artist, come on out and we'll be able to help you achieve your dreams. Amen. All right, well, brother and sister, God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful evening.
God bless you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.